our blue book, Songs of Victory. In the blue book, Songs of Victory 259.
To God be the glory, praise. went in to claim their inheritance. And Brother Gordon said the other day that it was 25 years before Caleb said, I want my inheritance. And you know, we have an inheritance too. And I believe the set time has come and the Lord wants us to lay hold. Our inheritance is Christ. And I was so struck in the prayer meeting the other day, Brother Gordon said that the Lord said we weren't to be satisfied with his marvelous presence, and it's been marvelous, hasn't it? Oh, you know, and I was talking about his marvelous presence too. And it's so easy to get satisfied with something less than what God's purchased for us. He said we, he has made us partakers of this divine inheritance. So what are you going to do? Well, I learned a lesson from Brother Gordon some years ago. I had such a desire for something from the Lord, and the Lord offered it in a meeting. And, you know, I thought, oh, I wished I could have that. And I looked up at the platform, and here he was with his hands up, and I say he looked like an English bulldog. He was going after it. I said, Lord, that's what I need. And so I thought, well, if that's the way you go after it, I'm going to go after it too. And so I shut my eyes, and I said, God, give me that. You know, the Lord gave it to me. I didn't have to go after that hard either. But you see, there has to be a determination. God wants us to be interested. You know, some people say, oh, you know, I would like to have Jesus like that. I wished I could have him like that. But when your heart demands that we have to have him like that, beloved, God says that soul is going to give it. They want it. They're not fooling around. And we can go say, well, isn't that nice? The Lord said we were to have not his blessing, not his presence, amen, but Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This weekend. Hallelujah. Who wants him? Hallelujah. Well, I want him. And I tell you, beloved, if we say, I have to have Jesus, my heart demands to have him.
Yes.
Beloved, he's going to give us just Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Christ revealed in saints below. In your blue book. Hallelujah. We use the blue book on the mornings unless we know, we indicate otherwise. 281. Maybe we'll just sing the first and last verses. I don't know. But anyway, let's sing the first verse. That's the one. And I know you'd all want to sing it with me. That's why I announced the number. Hallelujah.
God, grab it, grab it.
There are many people who say they would like to be like Jesus. And there are many people who say they would like to be filled with Christ and Christ alone. But you know, if you're going to be filled with Christ and Christ alone, you've got to be willing to be, and you've got to be emptied of self. Your own ways, your own ideas, your own opinions, your own words, your own feelings, your own attitudes, you've got to be willing to be, and you've got to be emptied of self. You can't be filled with two things at the same time. It's impossible. But you know, it's a very lovely thing to contemplate, and very admirable, very nice. Oh, I want to be filled with God. And I want to be filled with Christ and Christ alone. But if you want to be filled with Christ and Christ alone, you've got to be willing to be emptied, and you've got to be emptied of yourself. And thank God that that's possible, and thank God that God has made a way that that can be. But we often have to pray along this line, oh God, you change me, and you deliver me from myself. You know, ourself is the closest thing to us. It's us. That's what we are. It's us. That's what myself is. It's us. And so oftentimes we don't see ourselves, and we don't see how really natural we are and how fleshly we are. We just don't see it. But then as we pray, God comes to us, and he shows us, and he enables us to lay aside if we're willing to let him do it, and willing to do it. After all, there are certain things that we have to do. For instance, we have to mortify the deeds of the body. We have to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. There are many things in the Word of God which clearly indicate something that we are to do. We are to put off certain things. And then we are also to put on certain things. And we can do it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But we ought to determine by the grace of God, this thing of having my own way, of doing my own thing, of making my own choices. We ought to watch the little things of our lives and see if we have any choice of our own. Do I have some choice of my own in this thing or that thing? Well, Jesus, I want to just have your choice. I want to be willing to do just what you want me to do. Oh, Jesus, 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 you manifest yourself, you undertake, hallelujah. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. Jesus, we can pray in faith, displace me and replace me with yourself. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He wants to do it, and he will do it as we believe him and have faith to that end.
All things in Jesus. I remember hearing a little acrostic one time. It's spelled joy, J-O-Y. And for each letter, it was sort of showed the way that we could come into the experience of that joy. And it was the J standing for Jesus, the O standing for others, and the Y standing for yourself last. And in all of our, you know, I think of the group that we're here. And you know, we're not here as individuals, are we? We could very easily be off in little monk cells or cubicles someplace, but somehow the Lord has brought us together as a group, hasn't he? And it's been my own experience that there's a cumulative faith when you get a group of people together that are all seeking the Lord together.
Amen.
And you know, I believe the Lord wants us to have that consciousness as we're up here. That we're not just individuals here seeking for to be blessed ourselves with others that are seeking to be blessed themselves, but we're here, in a sense, to come in as a group into the presence of God. And in order to do that, there has to be a consciousness that others are seeking to enter in, a consciousness that that we can be a blessing and be a help and be an encouragement to one another as we're seeking to enter in to the presence of God and to receive all that he wants to during this weekend. And you know, Jesus said, he said, love is the fulfilling of the law. And he said, this is the way that unbelievers are going to know that you are my disciples. Not by the way you go into a prayer closet and show your devotional life in that way. That's fundamental. That's the underlying basic. But the way that it's going to be manifest is by the love that you have one toward another. And I think what a tremendous opportunity we have this weekend of being open to the Holy Spirit to make us conscious and aware of one another. And as we're reaching out to the Lord to be in a sense encouraging those that are around us in pressing into this. And Paul said, you know, the thing that really avails, I was thinking about what Mike said last night, that of all the things that avail, it's a new creation. Well, there's another very similar verse that says, the only thing that really matters is a faith which works by love. A faith which works by love. And isn't that a marvelous thing that as we during this weekend begin to give ourselves in our loving devotion to Jesus to love one another, I believe that that could be a spark that could lift us even higher into the presence of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I was reading a book one time. There was a translation of a modern translation of Brother Lawrence's Practice of the Presence of God, coupled with the writings of Frank Lobau. And the man that had translated this, he said, you know, you can look down through church history and you can see ones and twos of individuals that had entered into this experience of Christ dwelling within. But he said, you know, as he began to study that, the Holy Spirit began to impress upon him that God in these latter days wanted to bring whole groups of people into this experience together. Amen. Not just one individual where others are sort of following blindly along, but where all catch the same vision and all as a group are entering into that. And you know, that's the opportunity that we have this weekend. And I believe a key to it is love.
Amen.
And John, the Apostle John somehow caught that. He said, how can you love God whom you haven't seen unless you're really loving your brother whom you have seen? And you know, we're individuals, we're people. We're here with all different experiences in the Lord. We have different problems and different needs. And I believe that the Lord wants us just as a group just to bear the needs of us all before the throne of grace and to enter in together. Let's enter into this weekend together. And be conscious and believe that the Lord will use us and stir up the gifts that are within us to encourage, to lift, and to be sensitive. And most of all, to hold faith over one another. Let's not just hold faith over ourselves that somehow we'll get something. Let's all hold faith that the whole group will come into what God wants to do for us this weekend. And what a tremendous transformation that'll bring in all of our lives.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God. us where you stand, huh?
I'm not a preacher like Sister Ruby. But I just want to say that I'm very thankful that we could be here this week. The Lord prepared a feast for us, and we've been feasting. Feasting on the manna from heaven. And we certainly have enjoyed being here and have profited in the Lord. And the Lord really had some nice surprises for us. Of course, my sister-in-law there, she kept phoning and writing for us to be here when she was here. And for a while, it looked like we would miss her. But then things changed, and we were able to come while she was here. And she's really partly responsible that we're here this week. Now, we also didn't know anything about the McKinnons being here. Sister Ruby used to write, "I'm going to be at camp at such and such a time. Please come up." And I never could come. It was always impossible. This time she didn't write at all. And us we come and here they are. And so you see the Lord has worked that out, and then we've seen these people from Virginia that we haven't seen for a long time. We don't ever get down there anymore. And many of you others here, it's just been wonderful. Why, what will heaven be when we all gather around the throne? Praise the Lord and sing that new song, the song of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Praise thy wonderful name, O Jesus. I'm so thankful how Jesus is lifted up in our midst. And last night, I thought, what a miracle. All these preachers and no one is itching to preach. It was so restful. You know, you can be in places like that and you just feel one's trying to get up, the other's trying to get up, the other's trying to get up. One talks and the other one talks and we have all talks. But such a miracle. Everyone just sitting and looking at Jesus, enjoying him. That shows that the Lord is in control. Praise the Lord. Now a verse came to me this morning. Just a verse, and I'm not going to read the whole verse, but part we like. That's 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth.
Amen.
Glory to God. And I thought of the eyes of the Lord, how the eyes of the Lord do exactly that. And the Lord is looking for those whose heart is perfect toward him, or the heart that wants him, the heart that desires him, the heart that longs for him. And he wants to show himself strong in behalf of that heart. We heard something about being weak and how that the Lord wants to strengthen us. And we need that every day to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Praise the Lord. And then I thought, oh God, thou seest me. God, thou seest me. And he sees us all the time. I was first made very conscious of the eyes of the Lord being upon us at all times when I was just a child. Oh, I was about 10 years old or 11. And my parents, being German, both of them, they wanted their children to speak German and to learn German. So I had to go and have German for several years. I wasn't that interested. I said, I'm living in the United States of America. I'm never going to use it, and what's the sense? Of course, I'm sorry now. I was so foolish. But anyway, we had to learn it. And the teacher told my mother that I could read so well, he was going to give me a book, a storybook, as a gift, so he did. And in that book, there was an incident told of two children who were told to be good while father was at work and mother had to go to the store. But there was the cookie jar, and there was the temptation, and they wanted some cookies. And so they thought, well, they could sneak some, mother wouldn't miss one or two. But then they thought, well, if we go in that jar, the neighbor will see us across, and they might tell. And then they said, well, we could take the jar in the back, and well, there's the gardener, he'd see us. And so they went on and on. They felt, well, they finally found a way that they could take some, that no one would see them. And then they said, oh, but God would see us. Now that impressed me so as a child. And I always thought of the eye of God seeing me. Well, anyway, we were in a denominational church, and I forgot about it after a while, until I became a Christian. And then in the church, well, I wasn't saved in that church, but this, our church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I was saved under, when Mr. Ulrich was a pastor, you read about him in Bread of Life not long ago, and Mr. Hans Walpole came and had meetings there, and so on. Well, anyway, I was saved in that church on 13th and Harmon in Milwaukee, where Joseph Wanamaker was saved. And then we built a new church on Brown Street, 18th and Brown in Milwaukee, and they had the artists come in, and they wanted a picture painted in the front over the platform. And the artist came and he painted a great big eye. It was beautiful, it was big. And, you know, I admired it. Now I was saved and I wasn't afraid of God anymore. But the people in the church, they kept after the pastor, they said, please, we can't stand that eye. That eye is always looking at us, and we just squirmy. We can't enjoy it. And you know, in a little while, I had that all taken away. Something else was up there. But I thank God for the eyes of the Lord that run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You know, when we become Christians, we really shouldn't be afraid of the eye of God, but we ought to welcome the eyes of the Lord. Now here, this King Asa had done something that displeased the Lord, for he wasn't just trusting wholly in the Lord, and he'd gone to lean on the arm of flesh, and the prophet came and reproved him and reminded him why the Lord's eyes are running to and fro throughout the earth, and he wants to help you. And he would have helped you. Well, anyway, when I was in British Columbia some 2 years ago, I was in a church where, well, it was a Pentecostal church in Vancouver, where my sister and her husband took me, and there were about 300 or 400 people there. And they had their own way of doing things. When they took the offering, they put a plate there on the platform and a plate there on the platform, two aisles. And they had the people go up and put in their offering. They'd go up, put in the aisle, and turn around, come back, and on this side, that's how they took the offering. And the whole time that all these people went back and forth, they sang one chorus, "Keep me, Jesus, as the apple of thine eye." You know that? Maybe my husband helped me sing it. "Keep me, Jesus, as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wing. Keep thy hand upon me lest I die. Keep me,
as the apple of my eyes.
Yes, Lord.
Now that's what they say all the time as hundreds of people went back and forth to put in their offering. And we sing, his eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And God's eyes upon us to show himself strong in our behalf. Praise the Lord. And it's good to know that his eye is upon us. He knows all about us anyway. I was just thinking this morning of how in the faith homes in Zion, when all the vessels were ministering under the control of the Holy Spirit, how you never knew what would happen when one of those vessels would come up to you in a meeting. And sometimes, of course, they'd say something very encouraging. But sometimes they tell you something about yourself in front of everybody. And there was one sister there. She was a little older than the rest of us. And she was also sour looking. I didn't know her too well then. I didn't. There were three homes, and I didn't live in the same home where she was. But I noticed this. But anyway, one day Elder Brookstreet stood in front of her and said, "Doest thou well to be angry?" "Doest thou well to be angry?" And he said, "Now there's somebody that you can't stand, and you don't like that person, and the Lord wants you to make that right. And would you like that?" Well, God's eye was upon her. And God's eye was watching her. Now, he didn't say that to condemn her. He said that to deliver her. And
amen.
You know, she did what the Lord told her to do. And this happened another time to her, too, something similar. But she obeyed the Lord, and oh, she turned out to be such a glory vessel, full of the glory of the Lord. Oh, how thankful I am that as we go on, and we know we're very conscious of God's eye upon us, and God watching us, and God caring for us, and God wanting to draw us, and God wanting to lift us, and God wanting to change us and transform us, and just letting us drink at these fountains of waters of life, and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ moment by moment. He's available. He's available. He's available. And he did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Thank you. Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Know ye not, know ye not, ye are the temple.
Thank you.
Yes, Brother Bauer, come.
I think last night that chorus was sung too, wasn't it?
Yes.
No, you not? And I thought, well, now, if that's really true, and it is, we're told that in the Bible that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost, which is in us. And I thought, well, now, if that is the case, and it is, I'd ought to be very careful how I treated this body of mine. I'd ought to be careful about not defiling it. I'd ought to be careful about doing anything that would have a tendency to destroy it or break it down in any way. If my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and it is. And today especially, we have found out, well, there are those who acknowledge it and claim that certain things are harmful for the body. And I don't know if anybody has a package of cigarettes here or not. They don't need to show them. But on there someplace, in very fine print, of course, the Surgeon General, isn't that his name? Surgeon General. Warns that this is harmful, or could be, let me see, it doesn't say exactly, it doesn't make it positive.
Has been determined.
Beg pardon?
Has been determined.
Had been determined. Well, I suppose people could kind of find a loophole there. There are lots of loopholes today, and taxes and everything. But I said to someone, we have neighbors, women. That's one thing that always gets me. If I get my seat to a lady and then have her blow smoke in my face, I feel like asking her if I get my seat. But this, I got after this neighbor of mine, lady. She's not well, and the doctor tells her she has to go to the hospital every once in a while because she can hardly breathe. Her husband died of something as a result of something like that. I used to take him to the hospital. He couldn't breathe. He had to open the car door. He was having an awful time. And finally, they didn't call me at night. They were too ashamed to call me at night, so they called an ambulance, and they made him lay down. Wouldn't let him sit up. Wouldn't let him breathe. And so he died. But it was a result of this thing. And I got after her. The doctors got after her. I said, you've got to stop that. But she doesn't. She doesn't. And very nice lady, religious lady to a certain degree, and all of that. But she's not interested in that sort of thing. She doesn't. Her body should be the temple of the Holy Ghost, but she's certainly not taking care of it in any way. But today, I think that people have no excuse. In that, years ago, we used to say, well, what's the sense of it? What's the sense of that? If God wanted us to smoke, why, well, he'd put a smokestack on us anyway. But in those days, it was a matter of just saying, well, what's the sense of it, or why spend the money, or something like that. There didn't seem to be anything concrete that would tell us that there was a possibility of something that would be harmful to our bodies. But today, if we want to know, if we want to find it out, we can find that there are men who have made studies of that thing and are willing to say there's a possibility. There's a possibility. Well, if there's a possibility, that must mean that there must be a possibility. And if my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, then I ought not to be doing things that would have a tendency to break it down. or to destroy it. God doesn't want me to go around breathing the good air of Pilgrim Camp and dissipating it by being careless about the way the things that I do. And the things that are obvious, the things that we know. If my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, then I'd ought to be careful and do all I can not to defile it. We're told that in the Bible too. And so that's my little speech. Take it or leave it.
Let us look to God for my wife's sister Gladys. We received a long distance telephone call this morning that somehow or other she evidently was suffering from ptomaine poisoning, something that she had eaten, evidently unwittingly. And so let us look to God that God will completely destroy the effects of this thing and cleanse her system, take care of this thing right now if it hasn't already been. God will take care of the after effects too. We praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Unable to walk very well. She's had constant pain. And she was laying down at this particular time of the day, and she got a phone call, and someone called. Of course, if you don't know, my mother and father have a church in Illinois, and they stand for healing, believe it, believe the Lord to answer prayer. And sometimes some victories take a little longer, but God does heal. In this particular case, she had been looking to the Lord, and someone had called on the phone and asked for prayer. They had a need in their body, and they asked for prayer. And so little did they know that my mother had been suffering and was in great pain. And she prayed for them on the phone. As she was praying, the power of God came. She said that the Lord instantly healed her. The pain left, and she began to gain her strength back. But God did something. I thought that was interesting. Here it was just by praying for someone else that God healed her. And she had been looking to the Lord for healing. I'm thankful today for the power in prayer, and that God is the healer, and he does answer prayer, and he wants us to keep believing for ourselves and for others, because I've seen the Lord working very definitely, and he's teaching us more and more that it must be Jesus. He's the healer. We can't do it, but as we keep our eyes on him, he answers prayer.
Thank God. Amen.